This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
In 1988, there was an athletic shoe company that was struggling a bit, and they had laid off 20% of their workers the previous winter. They were struggling with market share, and the number one athletic company, a shoe company in the world at that time, was a company called Reebok. And this company was trying to catch up, and they were not making good progress. It was kind of a dark day. And they came up with a slogan that absolutely turned that company around. In fact, it's a slogan that's still with us. And in the next 10 years, their sales increased over 1,000%. It's only a three-word slogan. And if I tell you what is Nike's three-word slogan, you would say, just do it. It is still with us. It is still working. But it's a call to action. And it's a call to action that reached out across all kinds of barriers and created just a mentality in this company that has paid off well. Action. Action and things that we act on are things that get magnified in our life. And as we conclude our series on magnified, how big is your God? I want to talk this morning about how action, really, things we act on are things that get magnified. Now, here's one of them. How many of you know that if you act on anger, it can escalate? One of the things we're seeing now is they've done a poll. 80% of the Americans said that they have experienced some form of road rage, which is not good. But they said 80%. Now, and they've said, I've cut someone off. I've kept someone from changing lanes. I've tailgated someone. Some, of course, has escalated where the people are getting out of their car, waving guns at one another. That's not good. But if you yield to it, if you give in to it, anger can escalate. I'm going down 45 one day, and for some reason, I don't know that I did it, but I must have ticked somebody off because they got in my lane and got right in front of me and then slowed way down. And I whipped out around them to pass them, and when I passed them, they sped up. So I sped up, and they sped up. And then the thought hit me, this really would not be good to catch me going 100 miles an hour down the highway. That's how you wind up on the front page of the Courier doing this number right here and then wearing an orange suit. And I'm like, whoa. But if you give in to anger, it says, so what happens? So I slowed way down and cut in behind him and got out. How about fear? If you give in to fear, doesn't it get bigger? Church in Arkansas, having church one day, little one room, you know, the white classic clapboard church, and they're having church one day. Right in the middle of the sermon, the devil showed up right in the front. Preacher saw him and screamed. He ran out, whole choir exited. Everybody in the church just, man, they made out, they were going out windows, they were going out doors. Everybody exited except for one little old man. Just sitting right down there in the front. He looked at the devil. The devil looked at him. This man didn't blink. The devil said, aren't you going to run? Old man said, no. Devil said, you know who I am? He said, yep, the devil. Devil said, well, aren't you scared? He snorted. He said, no. He said, I've been married to your sister for the past 53 years. But if you, okay, ladies, you say, I didn't like that joke. Well, when you tell it, make it your brother for 53 years. The idea is if you give in to fear, it can escalate. If you give in to anger, it can escalate. It can get bigger. If you give in to sadness, you know, they found that if you simply are feeling sad, that if you will stand up straight, throw your shoulders back and put a smile on your face, it actually helps lift some of the symptoms of sadness. Now, if you go into a room, close the doors and, you know, put a towel over your head, that's not going to help it. But how you act on and what you act on really is what gets bigger in your life. Jesus underscored this when he talked about the power of action. When he said this, when he was talking in Matthew, he said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. So Jesus is talking about action. I think it's real interesting that Jesus did not say this. He said, whoever has a huge amount of faith and acts on my words. He didn't say that. He didn't say, whoever just has this overwhelming sensation and feeling and acts on my words. He didn't say that. He said, if you hear it and you begin to do it, you put it into action. He said, then you're a wise man. He said, not only that, he said, you begin to build your life on a foundation that when the negatives of life come, you have a stable foundation. Because he went on to say that the floods come, the problems come. He said, but someone who's built his life on this foundation of acting on God's word becomes someone who is a lot stronger and stable. Recently, I had a series of events that happened that just made me angry. And it just one after another. And I just remember, I was ticked off. And if you think pastors ought never get ticked off, I got to share a secret with you. There is one common denominator that for every pastor in the entire world, not just in the United States, but every pastor overseas, every pastor, it's a common denominator. We're human. And so human means things happen, and I was angry. And so I was angry. I didn't take it off on anybody. I went for a walk, and it was hot, and I went for a walk. But I'm talking to the Lord. And I'm talking to him about it, and I'm like, I listed all these situations. I said, what do I need to do about it? So I'm just walking, and I'm convinced the Holy Spirit has a sense of humor because this song came up in my heart. I haven't thought about it in a long time. It's not a song I particularly like, but it's a scripture song. Anybody remember that old song, Rejoice in the Lord Always, and again I say rejoice, rejoice in the Lord always, rejoice. We used to sing it in a round. So I'm walking, and all of a sudden here comes this song up, Rejoice in the Lord Always. Well, that's a scripture. And I'm thinking, Lord, do we have another option here that I can act on? But once I know, and I realized I knew what he was talking about, once I knew what to do, now I have a choice. I can continue to be angry, or I can choose to rejoice. And so I just started rejoicing. I'm walking, I'm rejoicing just kind of quietly. I'm not making a fool of myself. I'm not out in the middle of the street acting crazy, but I'm just rejoicing. At home, I'm rejoicing because I realize when I begin to rejoice, here's what happens. You begin to rejoice. Now I begin to drown out all those negatives. You start to put the negatives in the back seat. And when you rejoice, what you're doing is you're saying, God, I'm magnifying you above the problems. And when you begin to do that, it begins to put the problems in perspective. You say, Alan, did all your problems go away? Did they all just magically disappear? No, I'm still dealing with some of them. But the deal is, I can deal with them with a different perspective. Let me give you a story in the Bible of a guy who, in the Old Testament, who has a classic example of acting. It's when a nation came together and acted like God was real and God was big in their life. It's found in 2 Chronicles, a king named Jehoshaphat. He's got a problem, and armies come out against him. It said, then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in El-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hands is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that's coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. I want you to stay with me during this little passage. It's a little bit of a longer story, but it's so important. Because what we see with Jehoshaphat is when fear came, the Bible said Jehoshaphat was afraid. Someone told him. It'd be like someone saying, hey, the Chinese, the Russians, and the North Koreans are in Canada and they're coming your way. Well, that would be a very negative situation. You're like, oh my gosh, that's a multitude. And Jehoshaphat was facing a huge multitude, and the Bible said he feared, but he didn't stop there. He feared, but then he resolved himself. He said, I'm going to seek God. He didn't panic. He didn't evacuate the country. He said, he gathered everybody together. There's something powerful about being gathered together. Something that's good about being gathered together. It's another reason I believe in church. There's something strong when we come together. And they came together to seek God, to put everything on hold. They said, we're going to put eating on hold. That's what it means to fast. It means they went without eating for a while and they got together to seek God and they were very serious. And Jehoshaphat prays a prayer. And I love his prayer. When he starts out with a big God. You know, he didn't start out and go, my gosh, look at these people. He starts out with, God, aren't you God? Aren't you the God? And no one is able to withstand you. Remember, we've talked about that. One of the best ways to pray is to start with the bigness of God. God, you are big, and there's nobody stronger than you are. If you read the rest of his prayer, I'm going to summarize it for you. You read the rest of his prayer. He's like, God, didn't you give us this land? This is land you gave us. And you told us if we ever got in trouble that we could come right here before your temple and we could pray and you would hear us. And then he said, Lord, we can't fight this group. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. What a wonderful way to pray. He said, Lord, we're looking to you for help. It's a great way. Instead of being just totally scared, he gave in to God, and then God gave him a great answer. God gave him a promise of his help. Let's read what happened. Spirit of the Lord came upon this one priest out there, and he said, listen, all Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, don't be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go down against them, and they will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. He repeats himself, don't fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. There's some great things to keep in mind here. The Lord kept saying, he repeats himself, don't be afraid. He said, but you are going to have to go out against them. He said, you're all going to have to face this group. You're going to have to face this situation. Massive army, you still got to go out there. He said, but basically God is saying, I got this. You don't have to fight this one. I got this one. And I love how they responded to the promise. Doesn't say Jehoshaphat looked at everyone and go, do we know who this guy is? I don't know who this guy is. They didn't even look around. They heard that. They sensed that's God's word to us. And the Bible said Jehoshaphat put his head to the ground and he bowed his head and he worshiped God. God, I believe you just spoke to us, Lord. I know you're talking to us, Lord. I know you're helping us. And his worship was indicating, Lord, thank you that you've given us a promise of your help. Jehoshaphat continues to act upon God's word. And the next morning as they got up, they had an opportunity to go down. You have to understand, this army that they were facing did not go away. But here is Jehoshaphat's counsel to the people. When he said this, they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you'll be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army, they were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. I love this story. When they came out the next day, and this, you know, the potential for fear was still there. Wouldn't it have been great if you come out the next morning and they go down to right where the Lord said they were going to be, and there were like four guys and a camel? But there weren't four guys in the camel. There was a huge army against him. But Jehoshaphat stood and he encouraged the people. He said, look, guys, he said, you got to believe God. If you believe God, he said, you'll be strong. If you believe his prophets, or you believe what his prophets say, his promises, you will prosper. And then he made a decision that was really unusual because God said, you don't have to fight in this one. So he said, we're going to try a different tactic here. We're going to put the praise team out first. Now, that's an unusual tactic. Usually in an army, that's not who you put out first. If we were surrounded, if someone ran in and said, Alan, there's 10,000 gang members and outlaws. They're out there. They've surrounded the church. They want the church and everybody in it. They're going to come steal all our stuff. And the Lord spoke to us and said, no, you go out against them. And I go, okay, guys, we're going out. Justin, where's Justin and Tony? We're going to send them out first. You guys are going out first. I know Justin. Justin would be praising and packing probably at the same time. He'd be like, but these guys went out, what are they doing? They're praising the Lord. They're saying, Lord, thank you. And I love this very simple. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. If you ever wonder, how do I know how to praise God? You don't have to make it elaborate. You just say, Lord, I praise you because your mercy endures forever. In fact, you can repeat it. He had no problem with that. Lord, I praise you because your mercy endures forever. And before they ever saw the defeated armies, they praised God. So see, that's acting. And as they got down there, man, all these people had killed one another. I love that. So how did that happen? I don't know. The Lord has the ability to turn these people. They're always fighting anyway. So he turned them against each other. They killed each other. So by the time they got there, said all they had to do next was carry the spoil. And they did that for 3 days. Great story. You say, well, Alan, that's a great story. What does that have to do with us? Well, the principles are still there for us. See, if we're going to magnify God in our life, if we're going to act on God in our life, here's the thing we have to understand. When fear comes our way, we don't have to act on it. See, whatever we act on gets magnified. Whatever we don't act on gets minimized. Little girl in New York City this past year, 12 years old, was sitting in a McDonald's when one of her classmates came in and demanded one of her chicken McNuggets. She refused to give up her chicken McNugget. And told him no, and she left the McDonald's. This young man followed her out, and in a subway station, he takes a gun out and puts it to her head and demands her chicken McNuggets. This little girl looked at him and slapped his hand away from her head and told him to leave her alone, told the police, and they arrested him for, obviously, a McRobbery. And, because he's a McThief, and we could go on for this for a while. But what happened was she became famous for just for her bravery. And really what she did was she just simply slapped away the gun. I think, man, spiritually we have to do the very same thing. When fear comes, we have to slap it away. It's like, no, I'm not going that way. I have another choice. I can choose God. I can choose to pray. Listen, if you're going to pray, we talked about that last week. If you're going to pray, don't start off with the bigness of the problem. Don't start out with, God, you see what's going on. Start off with, God, you are big and you are good and you are God and you can help me. We start off with the bigness of God, not the bigness of the problem. But always remember, we have a choice. In Psalms, the psalmist said this, whenever I'm afraid, didn't say if I ever get afraid, he said, whenever I'm afraid, I'm going to make a choice here. I will trust in you. In God, I will praise His word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what can flesh do to me. Alan, I thought he was afraid. Well, he was afraid, but then he made a choice not to give in to the fear. He started praising God's word. Then he gets bold. Like, I'm not going to be afraid of this. What can flesh do to me? One of my favorite fear stories is of Joy, my wife. Joy is not what you would call a bold to strong personality. When she was a little girl, she was even less so. Just real cute and smiles and dimples and all that stuff, but not real bold. And she said near her home, she grew up in a home, and she was a single-parent home for years, to about 7 years old. She said, and she had a boy around the corner of her block named Kenny Samuels. And Kenny was this big, tall, red-headed kid. He said, and he yelled all the time, and his family yelled. You could hear the family yelling all the time. And she said, if you walked around near Kenny's yard, Kenny would scream out, don't you step on my grass. And Joy said she wasn't even on the grass, but she was scared to even go near his, and she would walk in the middle of the sidewalk because she was so afraid of Kenny Sandals. He would scream out the window, don't you step on my grass. Well, then one day, something changed in Joy's life, and her mother married a guy named Dell. And Dell Todd was about 6'4", looked like John Wayne, and he was a policeman. And when Dale came into the house, a new sense of boldness came over Joy. And it dawned on her one day, my daddy's a policeman, and he's a big man. And so she made up her mind. She said, I'm going to walk on Kenny Samuels' grass. She walked past his house. Instead of walking down the middle of the sidewalk, she just tromped all over his grass. And then she said, he wasn't even there to see me. He didn't even yell. But here's the thing. When it comes to fear, now listen, I realize some people are hearing this right now and they go, Alan, I'm taking meds. I'm on meds for anxiety and fear. Listen, this is not meant to shame you at all. This is meant to say, even if, when you're taking meds, you can still begin to trust God. You can still begin to trust Him. This is to open up an idea that maybe there's a different alternative out there for you. You don't have to give in to the fear. What you need to do is find out, what are God's promises for your life? Find His promises. It doesn't mean that all of our problems go away. We still have to face problems. We still have to deal with things, but we don't face them. I've heard people say, well, Christians are weak. You know, they need to hide behind God. Listen, we don't hide behind God. We don't hide from the problems of life. We just face the problems of life differently than people who don't have a relationship with Him. We don't face them alone. I don't hide behind Him. I stand with Him. And He's big. And so that gives us an ability there. But you find out what He's promised, and then when you believe His promises, it makes Him bigger in your life. Now just think about it. When you believe the promise that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believed in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, God got bigger in your life. And when we believe His promises of help, of healing, of strength, of provision, God gets bigger in our life. I'll give you a great one. Here's one of my favorites. I realize probably one of the biggest challenges we deal with today is not knowing what to do. We have so many choices, so many things that are facing us. Here's one of the best things we can do. Here's a promise for you. If you don't know any other one, you can take this one. This was written to the church. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So that tells us our part and God's part. Our part is we ask God, and we don't doubt. His part is He'll give us wisdom. And so that gives us the ability. And then the last thing we find is we have to make the decision that we're going to believe God and we're going to act on His promises. We believe these promises. We begin to take these promises into our life. And then we begin to act on them. One of the greatest ways that you can act on God's promises is, and it's praising Him. See, when you begin to praise God like they did, like Jehoshaphat did, you know, Jehoshaphat, they said, you can't fight. So he couldn't fight. So what could he do? Well, we can praise God. We can go out. We can face the situation. We can praise God. Now, remember, we just asked for wisdom. What do we do next? We just begin to thank God. You say, well, Alan, I don't know what to do yet. I don't have the wisdom. Yeah, but we believe God's faithful. We believe He's answering our prayer. And so we start thanking Him and we're praising Him. And as you're doing that, you're acting on His word and you're magnifying Him in your life. Look what the psalmist said. He said, I will praise the name of God with a song and I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. See, that always gives us something that we can do. And I love that. Lord, I've always got something that I can begin to act on Your word. And as I act on Your word, I magnify You in my life. One of my very favorite stories is the story of a little boy who was raised by, his mom had died when he was little. He was raised by a single father who was doing his best to take care of him. And he'd never taken the little guy on a picnic before. And so he promised him that on Saturday morning, they would go on a picnic. Friday night, the little guy couldn't sleep. He was so excited. Father's drifted off to sleep. The little boy runs into the room. He goes, Daddy, I'm just so excited about the picnic. I'm so excited about tomorrow. And his dad said, well, son, I know you are, but I really need you to go to sleep. I need to sleep. I need you to go to sleep. Going back to bed, little boy trudged back to bed. He was just so excited. His dad drifted off to sleep, and then he woke up with his son right over him. If you have kids, you know that they do that. If you don't have kids old enough yet, this is coming. They will come and stand right over you, and they'll go, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. I can't tell you how many times I've woken up with Matthew right in my face and just like, yeah, Daddy. And he was angry at first, and then he saw the look on the boy's face. And he said, what is it, son? And the boy just smiled. He said, Daddy, he said, I just want to thank you for tomorrow. So they hadn't had the picnic yet. But he believed that his daddy was good, and he believed his daddy was going to, there was going to be an awesome picnic. And so before the picnic ever happened, he's thanking his daddy for the picnic. Before you see the win, before you see the answer, before you see the problem go away, can you say, Father, I want to thank you for the answer. I want to thank you for tomorrow. Thank you, Lord. So when you begin to praise God, you magnify God in your life. And the best thing we can tell you is just do it. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. If you came this morning and said, Alan, I've never done what you talked about, making Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, but I'd like to do that. Or maybe you're like I was. I was raised in church, got away from God, and knew in my heart I wanted to come back. So this morning, if either one of those situations applies to you, we're not going to have you stand up or come to the front, but sitting in your chair, one of the most powerful things that'll ever happen to you in life, maybe the most powerful, can happen to you this morning. You can come into contact, connection with God. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and we're going to pray. If that's you that I'm talking to, and you say, Alan, I need God in my life, or I need to come back to Him. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up? Just, I'm going to see it, and I'm the only one. I'm looking. Would you? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, great. Thank you. Anybody else? Appreciate your courage. That takes courage to do that. Anybody else? Yeah. In the front and in the back. I got you. Wonderful. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. If you didn't lift your hand, you're thinking, I missed it. I missed it. I missed it. No, no, no. You can pray this from the heart. We're going to pray it together. We're going to pray it with you. It's a powerful prayer. We're all going to do it out loud. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to You. Father, thank You for those that prayed that prayer this morning. And Father, for the rest of us, those, Father, who are confident that we're walking with You, confident we have a relationship with You, thank You for tomorrow. Thank you for what you've done in our life. Thank you for what you are doing. Thank you that no one can ever snatch us out of your hand. We give you all the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.